what a win for BYU over Iowa State in the Big 12 quarterfinals means. We'll discuss what exactly stood out in that victory and what it will ultimately mean on Selection Sunday. We'll hear from Richie Saunders, Trevin Nell, and ESPN's Fran Fraschilla about that big victory over the Cyclones and preview tonight's showdown with Houston.
It's a ball night for BYU in the Big 12 semifinals versus the Cougars and Cougars battle. What's up, Spence?
What's going on, brother?
Be good enough for BYU and one seed Houston, and we're just 2 days away from Selection Sunday. I can't wait, dude.
Love that music.
We'll call our shot, seed, location, and opponent in the NCAA tournament.
Let's go. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is a very happy Friday, March 14th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who might eat tater tots every day for the rest of his life, Jerem Jordan.
Listen, I was born in Idaho, moved when I was two, but I can claim it, right? Mountain Home Air Force Base, shout out 1983. What happened this week with Richie Saunders is incredible. So on Monday, we talked about how Michael Mower tweeted about Richie's great-grandpa, and I confirmed it with the fam. You know, Richie's sister lives in my ward, so I was like, hey, what's up? And they're like, this is true. So then on Tuesday, we talked about it on the show, right? And then we, Colton Potter, you, me, all told Sean Farnham this week, hey, here's a fun nugget. Richie Saunders, great-grandpa, F. Nephi Grigg, that's a name, love a Book of Mormon name, created Tater Tots.
Incredible.
Started Ora Ida and this whole thing. So then Sean mentions it on the broadcast yesterday, and then men's basketball takes this picture. And then Barstool Sports writes an article. Coming up, you'll hear my conversation with Richie about the game yesterday. We talk about the whole Tater Tots thing, but it has exploded. And you'd think like, oh, this dude's family is like super rich, right? They sold it to Heinz, but then that money was actually given to the government by the great-grandma. So Richie's not from found money. He's from earned money.
Oh, he's earned everything
so,
he has,
he's had
Jerem.
To work hard.
Yeah, my favorite
exactly.
thing, I think, after
I'm not sure
all
what happened
that.
With the give the government all the money there.
Hey, whatever. We do that every tax season, Jerem. A conversation for another day.
Not like this.
The culmination of this was the photoshopped extra large tater tot in Richie's hand on the game clinching 3-point shot. Oh, I loved it so much. On that note, is everybody hungry? I am. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Today, the 17th-ranked BYU Cougars take on number 12 Iowa State. Trevin Nell pulls, fires, and scores. BYU 6-for-9. Nell lobs the Kaba! There it is! Richie for three. Got it! That will do it! Saunders in the hole, and we will see you on Friday night!
Oh, a new version of Friday Night Lights for BYU basketball at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, taking on the second-ranked team in the country, Houston. After BYU as the 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament defeated 5 seed Iowa State 96-92 in a de facto road game. I know that the BYU fans were loud and there was a good contingent, but come on, this was mostly a road game for BYU. That said, Jerem, what in your opinion makes this specific victory over Iowa State stand out on BYU's entire regular season and now Big 12 tournament resume?
I tried to downplay earlier this week the significance of that game, but when BYU won it, it felt significant. Even though Taman Lipsey, Keyshawn Gilbert did not play, it was an undermanned Iowa State team. A lot of 4-on-5 basketball vibes playing pickup where the team with four kind of focuses, dials in, hits some shots early. You had walk-ons playing for Iowa State. That's not BYU's problem. That's what I always say. That's not their problem. BYU just needed to win it, and they did, scoring 96, Spencer. They were unbelievable. Points per possession, 1.3 plus. Mihailo Boskovic was big in this one. Trey Stewart defensively did a nice job. How about Curtis Jones going for 22 points in 5 minutes?
That was wild.
He could not miss. That's what it's like to get jimmered. That's not a good feeling. BYU controlled him in the second half. They made crazy good plays down the stretch. Richie Saunders' three with 47 seconds left was the play of the game, in my opinion. His ability to make a free throw late is incredible. He was 8 of 8, 27 of his last 28 from the free throw line. Remember after Arizona State, you said, hey, not a big deal with this free throw thing. Like, BYU's figured it out, right?
Yep.
With the free throws since then, it's been great. This was a clutch win. This was a quad 1A win. I know Iowa State was undermanned. That's not BYU's problem. The point is to win. They don't grade you better if you win by more. You just need to win by one plus in tournaments. And that's what BYU did. They were gutty gritty. 52 straight wins when they lead with 5 minutes left. So BYU's closing out game, Spence, and this was awesome.
Let's double down on a couple of the things that you just brought up. The 96 points that BYU scored in regulation, mind you, no overtime or double overtime playing into this in this showdown with Iowa State. 96 in regulation from @_AlexGukin, who pointed out top three most points given up in the TJ Otzelberger era at Iowa State. 96 by BYU yesterday, 88 by BYU in double overtime earlier this season, and 87 by BYU last season. That is an unbelievable stat, an incredible offense by BYU against the Cyclones. Also, I'm not very often I told you so guy, but on the free throw thing, I'm playing that card today. I had so many people freaking out and telling, oh, you're not giving it enough attention. BYU, just like they have for much of their weaknesses this season, they figured things out, and they're making clutch free throws and making a ton of free throws. That was just one part of it yesterday, 18 of 21 from the charity stripe. Jeremy, I love the bench production, 41 bench points again.
Oh,
this is becoming incredibly regular for BYU. They had two guys off the bench scoring double figures. Fuse had a very quiet 15. And how about Mihailo Boskovic? This is, it's time that we give that guy his due. He is kind of the 10th or 11th man in this 11th man rotation. And he is a weird matchup for a lot of opponents. He hit some huge shots yesterday. What a performance by the BYU bench, Jerem. Again, 11 deep. Trevin Nail pointed out yesterday on ESPN, look, while most teams shrink the roster and they shrink down the rotation to 8, maybe 9 in postseason, we've just expanded it. We're going to carry on with this 11-man rotation. It is so incredibly entertaining to watch how BYU is doing it differently than most teams in the country when it comes to how many guys they're playing.
Kevin Young said it. How do you scout against us? We have so many guys. You can't go 10 deep in your knowledge of the opponent. You're just going to forget, like, what does this guy do? What is? Am I supposed to close out hard or not on this guy? How do I defend this guy in a pick and roll? Mihailo Bucketvich, which Sean Walker came up with of KSL.com. That's hilarious. His parents are in town, by the way. First time they've been to the United States. They're hanging out with him. They were at the BYU-Utah game. They came here. I talked to Mihailo after the game. You can catch that on YouTube, our YouTube channel. What a game for BYU's bench, as you mentioned. BYU. Let's talk about three-point shooting,
holy
by the
cow.
Way.
Holy cow.
Normally would be like
threes.
The first thing we mentioned.
18 threes.
18 threes is the second most in BYU history, tied. First, the most against a D1 opponent, tied. And BYU goes 50%. I mean, they needed every one of those threes, it felt like. And BYU got to the stripe. They made a lot of free throws. They made clutch plays down the stretch. This team is very adaptable. There's a lot of, what was it? Was it Rogue and X-Men that just like changes to whoever adapts
yes.
around the
They're
chameleon?
They're a chameleon.
Kind of
they're a chameleon, Jerem.
BYU has that. They can adapt. They don't have to win one way or two different ways. They make all kinds of different adjustments. And that was, like you said, that was a road win. It really was. By the way, Cougar Nation showed up better than I even thought. I thought they'd be good representation. Cougar Nation did a nice job yesterday. I'm interested to see what the crowd's like tonight if more people show up. Right now it's a ghost town, whereas the last couple of days it's been buzzing around here. No games until 6 locally here tonight, but can't wait, buddy. Mm. Cannot wait. Oh, by the way, shout out to Richie, 1,000 points in his career.
Yeah.
Yegor Demons, single-season freshman assist record. And Elijah Crawford doing the sleeping, laying down on the bench when Richie hit that three was really fun. Okay, moving on. What does the win mean for BYU on Selection Sunday?
Oh, baby, to me, this has solidified BYU at worst. Mind you, at worst on the 6th seed line. I think they absolutely
Amen.
Deserve to be a 5 seed. I do not see how they could fall below a 6 after this unbelievable scorching run that they have been on of 9 straight wins. 9 straight wins! You've beaten Iowa State on the road, essentially, twice. You won at West Virginia. You won at Arizona. You beat Kansas by 34. This is crazy. Crazy. This is why most college basketball analysts are saying, well, BYU might be the hottest college basketball team in the entire country, taking nothing away from Houston. We'll get to that in just a moment, Jerem, because the other Cougars, are quietly doing their own scorching in a way. But my goodness, this puts BYU at worst on the 6-seed line. I think they absolutely deserve to be a 5-seed. And I hope that maybe they get some consideration in location now because they are playing so well. I would love for BYU to be a 5 or a 6-seed playing in Denver or Wichita and not have to be playing in Providence. But I guess, you know, you can't have everything you want all the time in the NCAA tournament, especially when you're a team like BYU.
It seems like you do a lot. I think you should wish this because your life is, you have hard stuff, Spence. But I feel like when you wish something, you get it. So you need to wish for this. What you want should be given.
Okay, give me a 5-seed in Denver, Jerem, so let it be written.
I love it. Let's do it.
So let it be written. Do you see any differently than that? Like, what does this win mean in terms of seeding in the NCAA tournament? Do I need to be more extreme or more positive in that take?
No, I think you're spot on. I think BYU is no worse than a 6. I think they're a 5 that will slide to a 6 with Sunday play. We'll see where on the 5 line BYU is. But like you said, BYU's playing so well right now. Like, when do you want to win 9 games in a row? Into March. And that's what BYU's doing. Who do you want to beat? We want to beat, you know, we want to have 7 quad one wins in this streak or 6. We want to beat 4 ranked opponents in a row. Yes, check, check, check. BYU's doing all of these things. They're impressing everybody. Everybody is realizing who and what BYU is. They are evoking, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, the shades of 2020. That team, how hot they were getting into the NCAA tournament. We wish we could have seen what they would do. We're going to see what this team can do. And I think this team is more prepared than that team. I think this team has more seniors, more leadership, more adaptability, more athleticism, more talent than even that team, which was very good. I loved that team. That was great. But this team is capable of making 18 threes against one of the best defenses in the country. I know Gilbert and Lipsy were gone. Not BYU's problem.
BYU beat them full strength at Hilton Coliseum. Can we just put that argument to bed?
Yeah.
They've beaten them on the road twice, and they beat them when that team was at full strength, per se. I know that maybe there were some nicks and bruises, but you don't think BYU's dealing with that as well. And I want to throw in a couple of more numbers that there is so much good that came out of yesterday's game. How about 24 assists on 30 made shots? You assist
Incredible.
At an 80% clip, and you have 19 fewer turnovers in yesterday's game than you had in Ames. You go from 29
hey.
To 10. How about it? Led by Dallin Hall, 7 assists and 1 turnover, Jerem.
Preach.
Dallin Hall continues to be, in my opinion, the most important. He is the MIP player on this team. He and Foose work so well together. And who was it that found Richie Saunders for the wide open 3 to clinch the game? None other than Dallin Hall. He also hit 2 massive 3-pointers. I'm going to give him a pass on the airballed free throw. He's gassed.
He made the second, which takes a lot of guts, honestly.
He's gassed. Yeah, and he stepped up, made the second. But just so much positive, so many good numbers. Thing maybe I love most about what BYU has in front of them tonight is that they can just play, I feel, without any pressure on their shoulders. And I love that feeling.
I think there's a little bit of pressure given the win streak. And I feel like they want to prove themselves against Houston, which we'll talk about in a second. And that's the vibe I got in the locker room talking to everybody. Which, by the way, I just assumed Houston was going to beat Colorado. I didn't even ask the guys about Colorado. I think maybe one of the 5 interviews I did in there. I just assumed Houston was going to win that. Because, frankly, I forgot. I thought they got like a triple bye. And so I was like, yeah, they're playing Houston. I was like, oh, yeah, Colorado. Colorado kind of gave him a game, which we'll get to in a minute. Which, by the way, David Gubin of USA Today Sports, I think that's his name, he tweeted the most hilarious thing yesterday besides the tater tot stuff. He was like, hey, I'm sorry, the worst case scenario for the bars in Kansas City, of which there are many to my right, Iowa State's out and BYU's still in. So the sugar cookies and the soda are going to crush it around here.
Hey, the swig
but
joints.
Them bars ain't getting that kind of retail they were hoping for, yeah.
Oh, I love it so much. As we have been talking about and leaning into over the last minute or so, 4-seed BYU back in action tonight against the number 1-seed Houston. The Cougars in red are number 2 in the country. Of course, BYU enters as the number 17 team in the country. And, Jerem, you spoke with multiple BYU players, as you mentioned yesterday, about the opportunity to take on the Cougars in red. Here's what they had to say.
When we went there, they pushed us around. They got the better of us, and So we're going to come out, make sure we match their physicality, and we make good decisions with the ball, and I think that'll put us in a really good position.
Just, you know, take care of the ball. They're a great defensive team, great rebounding team. So I think just taking care of the ball, attacking smart, and then, you know, grabbing rebounds. That's it.
We're just completely different team, you know. Like the way we play, the way we space, you know, like the way we play for each other is just way different, you know. Like, it's just, I feel like we are still immature when we play again now. I feel like the whole team just know who is weakness or who is, you know, like, it's just like, it's going to be a fun game tomorrow for.
Indeed. Fun is one word for this matchup. I wanted this. And to your point, I kind of spoke it into existence. I was like, Jerem, just give me an opportunity to see BYU.
Yes, keep doing it.
Try and rectify what happened in Big 12 game number 2 way back in early January when they got absolutely run out of the Fertitta Center, 86-55. It was a very low point for BYU, obviously, in now what has become a remarkable rise. So my question now is, given what happened the last game around and on the heels of a 9-game win streak, what would qualify as good enough against Houston tonight?
Certainly we all want an upset win. And if you're that 2020 kind of team, Spence, which BYU's already proven that they are, remember what they did to kind of cap that 9-game win streak? They beat number 2 Gonzaga at home. Then they went to the WCC tournament and lost a close one to St. Mary's. But can this team pull off a major upset? They absolutely can. Evan Maya did a simulation of the NCAA tournament bracket yesterday. He had BYU going all the way in that.
Okay, we're back.
This team's ceiling is capable of something crazy. They really are. Am I saying they're going to pull off the upset tonight? I could absolutely see it. But I want to see, what I want to see the most, if BYU does not win, is for them to go toe-to-toe with a one seed. Because this is kind of a Sweet 16 type matchup. Do we want to quantify the improvement of BYU over the last 9-10 games? 9-0 is good enough for me. Like, I don't need a win tonight to feel great about BYU going into March Madness, but boy, would it be awesome, because Houston has an elite defense. They're number 3 in the country in efficiency, 11 on offense. Sharp, Cryer, Uzon, that is as good of a backcourt as you can get right now in the country. They get buckets. They defend. Of note, Juwan Roberts sprained his ankle early in the second half, the big man for Houston. He did not play the rest of that game. Colorado was on a heater. They won 2 games here. We talked about how incredible that was. They were the only non-chalky thing about this tournament so far, as we have the top 4 seeds in the semifinals. They only went 5 of 20 from 3, and we're in a single-digit game with Houston. Every game's different. You can't just do one thing and then that equals this all the time. But after January 4th, which is probably the most frustrated I've been during a game this season watching that, BYU was completely out of sorts. Houston did that. It wasn't BYU didn't do this. Houston dominated BYU in the first matchup. I want to see the improvement of BYU going toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the country tonight, and I think they will.
I keep hearing BYU fans say, I just want BYU to be competitive. I just want it to be competitive. Well, let's define competitive. Right now, Houston is roughly a 7-point favorite. So would being competitive mean that BYU
cover
is within 7 points? I think that's probably a safe assumption. So can BYU just keep it close? I want to watch an entertaining basketball game. Here's what I don't want to happen, is because the eyes of the nation are so prominently on BYU right now, for the Cougars to show up, and I mean the Cougars in blue to show up, and then all of a sudden just fall off of a ledge. I don't think that's going to happen. This team, I believe, is too mentally tough. They're too tested. They're willing to engage and get physical against an incredibly physical team like Houston. But to me, yeah, just can BYU be within single digits and this game be in question with under 4 minutes to go? That's what I would like to see. Entertaining basketball. I hope this game is in question with under 4 minutes to play and everyone's eyes are again glued to the TV. If BYU loses, it's what we've been saying. It doesn't hurt them at all. No one's expecting BYU to win this game. But if they do, holy cow, have they qualified now to become a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament? Is a win over Houston enough to jump BYU up all the way to a number 4? Or do they have to win the Big 12 tournament to do so? I mean, so many questions, Jerem. But for me, good enough is just being competitive and being close enough to have this game be in question with under 4 minutes to go.
In the next segment, you're going to hear what, when I asked Fran Fraschilli yesterday about what a win would mean for BYU in the NCAA tournament seed line, he surprised me a little bit. That's coming up a bit later. Call your shot. Seed, location, opponent. We don't know what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow night if BYU gets the Big 12 title game, but it's our last show before Selection Sunday, baby.
Yeah.
Call your shot. What's it going to be?
Okay, well, I've already mentioned a little bit of it, but may as well just make it official. BYU is a 5 seed on Selection Sunday, and they're playing in Denver. I think that because they've played so well, they have earned the right to play close to home and to be given a 5 seed. I will add this. If some of you missed it yesterday, there is something happening in bracketology right now and in the selection process that has people kind of scratching their heads, which is if Joe Lunardi has BYU as the number 23 team overall in his 1 through 68 seeding, that would mean that BYU is a 6 seed. So why are they on a 5 seed line? Jerem, it's because there are too many Big Ten teams right around BYU, and the selection committee cannot have early matchups of teams in the same conference. So in this strange circumstance, BYU is actually
is what they call it.
BYU is actually benefiting for once in Lunardi's bracket, being
the anti-Sunday
up.
Play. They get knocked up.
They get bumped up
a
6 to a 5 because of these mega conferences. The SEC's got 18 teams. The Big Ten, or 16, they have 18 or 16. I can't even remember. The Big Ten has 18 teams.
I think it's 29.
So because of these mega conferences, they got to avoid those conference matches. BYU, could they actually be given the benefit of the doubt and be bumped up a seed line? 5 seed in Denver, give it to me. Maybe Liberty is the opponent. I like that idea from Joe Lunardi.
Okay.
Call your shot.
Yeah, I like that. We owe him for 22 football. 6 seed. I want a 5, but 6 against Indiana.
Ooh.
In Wichita.
In Wichita.
That feels like the most random draw I could just pull out of a hat.
I like the matchup against Indiana, and I don't mind that location either. I think BYU fans will travel to Wichita.
They'd be trunky. Yeah.
Okay, we have called our shot. Our question of the day. What would a win over Houston mean for BYU seeding in the NCAA tournament? We've given you our thoughts. At JDurphy2001 on X says, 5 seed. Win the Big 12 tournament. Might get a 4. Really hard this late in the game to move up. Indeed it is. But if BYU is winning the Big 12 tournament, Jerem, that means they're beating Houston and either Texas Tech or Arizona, and they're on an 11-game win streak now. What? Tell me why they wouldn't be on a 4 seed.
Who could get displaced? I talked to Sean Farnham off camera yesterday. His voice is doing better, by the way.
Good.
And Fran Fraschilli, like, you'll hear from Fran in a minute, but Sean is not convinced that a 4 is that easy. He thinks a lot of teams are just kind of going to sit above BYU. But what you said about the bracketing principle is really interesting. They try and avoid, they don't want first-round matchup of same conference, and they don't want second-round either, but they might not be able to avoid it. But yeah, could BYU benefit from this? That's a great nugget that you shared.
Interesting stuff. Here's the best part about this. There's no question on Selection Sunday if BYU is going to be in. Isn't that wonderful?
We in, baby!
Isn't it wonderful? All right, good stuff and much more to come from Kansas City, including several interviews that Jerem did post-game with a very happy BYU team. 4 seed BYU men's basketball and the number 1 seed Houston in the Big 12 semifinals tonight. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 Eastern on the BYU Radio app. Game tips at 7 Eastern on ESPN2 and on BYU Radio. Up next, we'll hear from Richie Saunders, Trevin Nell, and ESPN's Fran Fraschilli, how they believe they were able to beat Iowa State again, and a preview of the matchup with Houston. This is BYUSN.
You're very versatile on offense, shooting, driving it, throwing it inside. These guys play with no conscience. Open, let it fly. It's the Big 12 tournament.
We are live at Studio B and in Kansas City. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. Of course, holding down the fort in Provo, Jerem Jordan is on location in front of T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Quiet T-Mobile Center at the moment. It will not be that way in about 4 or 5 hours, Jerem. And understandably, after the game yesterday, in BYU's celebratory mindset. You were very busy hanging out with guys in the locker room, getting their thoughts on the win, and then turning the page to Houston.
Absolutely. I talked to Richie Saunders after he did the big press conference, came back to the locker room. He was tired. I always give him the option. You want to stand up, sit down? He wanted to sit down. That guy gives a great effort. 23 points to lead BYU. The clutch three late with under a minute to go. 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Here's my conversation with the Tater Tot King himself. Richie, another big win over a really good team. How'd you guys weather the storms in that game?
Yeah, it just shows how deep we are as a team. Like, that's what I think it was, right, is the first group kind of, we were struggling in that first part of the second half. Second group comes in and just freaking kills it, puts it on them. And, like, that's just so awesome when that's a thing. Like, that doesn't happen very much of just how deep our team is, and it's so fun to play with.
How did things change with no Gilbert, no Lipsy?
Yeah, you know, people stepped up on their team, clearly. But they're so good on defense. It definitely was a different game. Like, just the whole structure of the game was different and maybe a little different than what we were planning for and stuff. But at the end of the day, people on their team stepped up, and it was a great game.
Trey and Mawit seemed like they did a great job on Jones after he had his 22 points in 5 minutes.
He was cooking. And they're such good defenders, though. You know, you weather that storm, and they do what they do. And, like, it's so fun to watch them play on defense. It's so fun to have them on our team.
Richie Saunders for president.
Thank you, Trevin. No?
Trev, I'm doing something.
He's busy, Trevin. You had your moment.
You had your camera time.
Under a minute, you hit that big three after Dallin hit it to you. Walk me through that play.
You know, it's like our team is just so good at getting to 2 feet. And when we do that, in the paint to great shots is what we call them. Those go in. Somehow the calm of the game just is like that. But sometimes, like, just when you paint to great shots, they go in. And I luckily had a little window.
You've been clutch from the free throw line. You were today. Walk me through kind of the mindset when you go to the stripe in a massive game like this.
You know, it's so nice to have experiences already where you can rely on. You know, in my mind, I've done this. I've been here several times, and you can just really rely on that.
What did it mean to be the Big 12's most improved player and a first-teamer?
No, I'm super grateful. A lot of work goes into that, you know. But take it with gratitude and keep moving forward. I'm here to win. And, like, I will say at the end of the day, though, like, that's a team thing. Yes, I was the one that got that recognition, but I don't do that if we don't win, you know. That's our team thing right there.
As of now, Houston's got to beat Colorado, but if Houston wins, what do you feel like is very different about your team in round two with them?
Yeah, we are completely different. Like, I feel like in every facet of the game, you know, we have an identity. And, you know, I'm excited to play him again with knowing what we know and having gone through what we've had to go through. But it's like, let's do this thing.
I just barely learned the tater tot thing about your great-grandpa this week.
Yeah.
Well, like, how did that stay hidden until now? That's amazing.
Yeah, for some reason that's been coming around. I don't know why, but, yeah, my great-grandpa invented the tater tot.
F. Nephi, what was it, Greg?
Greg, you got that, man. Wow. You got your sources right there.
Well, your sister lives in my ward, so.
That's true.
Your parents used to be on my sake. But anyway, do you ever eat tater tots as a fam just to honor the legacy, or what's the situation there?
Yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No, it's funny, though. It's, whenever I get out, in middle school, elementary school, whenever we'd have it in school lunch, I'd be like, tater tot tax. I'd make my friends give me a few tater tots.
Give me some of your tots.
Yeah, exactly. Right there.
Richie, thanks for the time. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks, brother.
Richie Saunders, I love how he's embraced that, how that's caught fire this week. It's just amazing. Trevin Nell yesterday was fantastic. He did not miss a shot. 14 points, 4 of 4 from the field, didn't miss his free throws. He was perfect everywhere, and he had a fantastic interview with me after the game yesterday as BYU defeated Iowa State and looks ahead to Houston. All right, Trevin, that was a massive win, man. How'd you guys pull that out? Because there was a lot of flow there.
Yeah, you know, this team is awesome to play because it's like cinema, you know. I was talking to Curtis Jones. I was talking to Montilovich just about, like, how awesome it is to play them. And they're like, yeah, it's awesome because it's like, you know, a Final Four game, Final Eight type of game. And the vibes are awesome. The atmosphere was awesome. But, you know, we are bought into each other. Coach always talks about play harder than the guy in front of you and play for the guy next to you. And so that's kind of like our MO right now. And it's awesome to be able to be excited on the bench when someone scores, get super pumped up on the when you make a shot or someone makes a good play. So there's like no agenda, and it's awesome. I feel like we're vibing. Everybody's in a good spot right now.
Is that in-game conversation, like during a free throw when you're chatting with those guys?
Yeah, so it was even like, you know,
mid-play
while talking. Like, Montilovich was funny because I was talking to him. I was like, hey, do you think you could have blocked me on that one? And he's like, I don't know, like probably. So these guys are awesome. It's super competitive. Great dudes. They're really well coached, and I'm excited to see how far they go in the tournament.
Seems like a classy fan base and situation, which is fun to hear. That hasn't always been the case this year with some teams. But you guys go up 10, strong start, and then you go down 10 when Curtis Jones goes 22 points in 5 minutes. How'd you weather that storm?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we're bought into each other. Curtis Jones, shout out to him. He was on a heater for the whole first half, and even he started out strong in the second half. But, again, you know, we have guys like Mo, we have Trey that just, you know, they go in and they shut people down. It's really awesome to see. It's really fun to get that at the end of the game. You know, we do a little ping pong action where, you know, offense to defense type of action. But again, nobody has an agenda, and everybody knows kind of what their role is, and I think that's what makes this team super special.
You guys have now won 52 in a row when you lead with 5 minutes left. Wow. That's the clutch time.
Knock on wood right now.
Yeah, right. You're right. Knocking on locker room. Stats. I tweeted out, and people are like, you jinxed us. No, I did not. What is it about this group that gives you the ability to close out a game?
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's so different, you know. I feel like we're a whole different team than what we started, you know, preseason with, to start a conference with, to even halfway through conference. But we kind of just went through it. We had to go through these roller coaster rides. Coach was always talking about, like, we're just pounding the rock and it's going to break open eventually. And so I think the turning point was at UCF. Our toughness wasn't up to par where we needed it to be. And, you know, now I feel like we're the tougher team. We're going through different battles, and every guy wants to win just as bad as the guy next to him. So I think, you know, playing for the dude, coaches are super intense. They're super competitive. The strategic play is awesome. So it's awesome to be able to play for a coaching staff like this and for the guy next to me.
You played a lot of games at BYU. Talk to me about the preparation. about this team and postseason play and how you guys have made a ton of adjustments. You've evolved as a team. There's been a build towards this season, and frankly the last couple of years, even if it's a different coaching staff, of, hey, we're ready for this moment, this and next week.
Yeah, we have, you know, veteran guys that played last year, and we won one game, and then, you know, the next game we played Tech and it wasn't the way we wanted it to go, and then tournament time in the NCAA last year was kind of the same story. So I feel like this year we have that experience, and we're helping the new guys understand like how important the ball is, how important possessions are. But again, you know, it's awesome to be able to, you know, have Mihai come down. He hits a three. He's looking at the crowd. He's diving on the floor. Trey's diving on the floor. Cave was dunking it. But the vibes are really awesome. The preparation is all there. We watch a ton of film, and then we're just excited to go out there and play. I think the joy is there, and it's awesome to have the energy on the bench and then the energy on the court kind of be the same. So it's awesome for sure.
Is the perfect start for you exactly what happened? Opening possession, you make a three?
It is the perfect start. It's awesome because Coach Young drew up a play for me. I was feeling pretty good in like the warm-ups and everything. As soon as I let it go, I looked right at Cave. I was like, that's a great screen. Looked at Diego. I was like, that's a great pass. I was smiling at Coach Young. But it was awesome to, you know, start that way. I always talk about, like, the urgency and faith part. I feel like I've done my part, and now it's just trusting the process, trusting God that everything's going to, you know, pan out the way that we want it to. And I think we're just, you know, starting to put BYU on the map.
How different do you feel you guys are for this matchup against Houston versus the first time?
Yeah, I was telling someone else, I was like, I'm super excited to play them. Like, they're considered a Final Four team. They won our conference outright. They're really well coached. They're one of the best defensive we've ever played. But we're a completely different team. Like, I'm excited for them to play us and to play them. It's going to be a hard-fought game, and I'm excited to see where we stand and how far we've come and to get ready for, you know, tournament time.
How dialed are you into, hey, if we do this, we may help ourselves next week at seeding, yet you want to stay focused on the next game?
Yeah, that's actually super funny you even asked that, because I haven't even thought about that. I'm like, oh, we just got to win this because we can get to the championship. A lot of people say winning the Big 12 is almost harder than winning a national championship, just because it's, you know, you have no breaks. You're playing probably a Final Four to an Elite Eight team every single time. And so it's going to be awesome. I'm excited, but I feel like our matchup is just against Houston. We're excited for that.
Okay, good luck against Houston. Thanks for the time.
Hey, let's go. Go Cougs. Bring the energy, baby.
And they did. The BYU fans were great inside of T-Mobile Center, and they should be again tonight. Fran Fraschilla has been calling a bunch of games in this tournament, doing studio coverage as well for ESPN. He had some interesting thoughts about what a win tonight over Houston would mean for BYU in the NCAA tournament. Here's my conversation with ESPN's Fran Fraschilla.
All right, Fran, another great Big 12 tournament so far. What's your take on what's happened thus far?
You know, the early rounds start off slow. You got the low seeds trying to just advance. Colorado advanced to the quarterfinals as a 16 seed. But now we start to heat up. You know, we had an incredible game today with BYU and Iowa State. Iowa State was tremendous with two players down. BYU shot the lights out. Both teams shot the lights out, right? Tournament record. And it's fun. Houston, as the one seed, slept walk a little bit. You know pretty well what happened back in January in Houston. And
I've tried to forget.
Yeah, but I don't expect the same outcome tomorrow, honestly, because I think what I like about BYU, really, and what I like about Coach Young is you could see, as smart a man as he is, he's grown into the job, figuring out his rotations, making sure that he's got some defensive toughness on the floor, stoppers like Mag and Stewart. He's got great scoring, great ball movement. The team is very unselfish. They're tough. So I can't wait for tomorrow because I think now we get into the meat of this tournament where you're going to have two great semifinals. And then whoever advances Saturday night, it's going to be epic. So it's what I've been doing for a long time here, and I'm excited about it.
Houston's the best team in the league, clearly, but BYU might be the hottest team, right? This nine-game win streak is crazy.
Well, it's a nine-game win streak, and it's against great competition. And a couple of key road wins, you know, which in this league is hard to do. But what I love about the Cougs right now is the great chemistry they got. I mean, it's a great ball movement team. You know, I know it's a cliche, but you say, good shot, better shot, best shot. And they play so well together, the driving and the kicking. And when you can drive and kick out to great shooters like Richie, you know, Saunders and Trevin and those guys. Dallin Hall is probably the underrated guy in his team because he's had to take a back seat a little bit. I call him a co-pilot. You know, Yegor is piloting the plane, but every now and then, like, you kind of, whoa! And so, you know, you got to...
That's a good analogy.
I know. I've been doing this a while, Jerem. But, no, you got a great co-pilot in Dallin. And I'm a big fan of the team. I really am. I love the way they play.
Jefferson and Jackson as the presidents, that was money too with Iowa State.
We're always looking for new ways to, you know, promote guys. And the one thing you're finding out about the Big 12 is we love what we do on TV at ESPN. We will be in Provo next year for Big Monday. We better be.
With AJ.
Well, we've already told our people here at ESPN, our muckety mucks that are here, we all told them we're going to Provo next year. I didn't get to Provo this year, which is criminal, because I can remember being yelled at a few times when I coached in New Mexico. But I got a win in there too. But we're just excited about the Cougs and BYU and what they mean to the Big 12. And let's see how this goes the next few days.
Would a win against Houston be enough to help BYU up one seed line in the NCAA tournament? Is that big?
100%. Oh, I don't think there's any question. First of all, if you've been paying attention and you're on the basketball committee, you see how hot this team is and how well they're playing and going to the places that they've gone already and have won. And a win over Houston would be monumental. You know, it would absolutely move them up a line. And I'll tell you, if they beat Houston, then they've got a chance to win the whole thing here. And that might be two seed lines. I don't know what Joe Lenardi says right now. Where are they?
About a five.
I mean, it's very logical that if they can, you know, stack a couple more wins, they can get to a four, maybe a three. But five seed looks good for now. That means five versus four. That means a one seed in the Sweet 16. But we'll see what happens because this team's on fire.
Appreciate the time. Best of luck with everything.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And, hello to all my Cougs friends.
And thanks for everything you did with Jimmer.
Jimmer's the man. I mean, if there's a better human being on the planet, let me know because I don't know of anyone. So
thanks, Fran.
Got it.
The great Fran Fraschilla on BYU Sports Nation. If you miss any of our interviews during our extensive coverage from the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, like those interviews with Richie Saunders, Trevin Nell, ESPN, Sean Farnham, Fran Fraschilla, or King McClure, you can find them on BYUSN.com or BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel. Still on the way, let's take a look at what track and field and the elite athletes in that area of BYU athletics are doing at the NCAA Indoor Championships. Loaded headlines on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B and a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation. A winning Friday, I should add. I am Spencer Linton in Provo. We'll hear from Jerem Jordan in Kansas City in just a bit, but not before we get to a loaded rundown of Friday headlines, beginning with this: 4-seed BYU men's basketball. Maybe you heard, beat Iowa State, the 5-seed, 96-92, to advance to today's Big 12 tournament semifinals in KC. Richie Saunders led BYU with 23 points, had a career-high 5 assists. BYU will take on number 1-seed Houston in the semifinals tonight. The Cougars in red won the regular season meeting back in early January by 31 points. Pre-game coverage for tonight's second go-around begins at 6 Eastern on the BYU Radio app, with the game tipping at 7 Eastern. Watch it on ESPN2. Listen, of course, on the BYU Radio app as well. Selection Sunday, now just 2 days away for 17th-ranked BYU men's basketball. As of last night, ESPN's Joe Lunardi projecting BYU as a 5-seed taking on 12-seed Liberty in Providence, Rhode Island in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And how about this update from Bracket Matrix? BYU, with their average, up to a 6.54, trending up, not shockingly. Still a 7-seed as a consensus. However, there are still 6 brackets that have BYU as an 8-seed. What are you doing? An 8-seed? On to the next. Richie Saunders named a finalist for the Lute Olson Player of the Year Award, given annually to the best player in college basketball. Saunders averaging 16.2 points per game this season, including 18.4 points per contest during this current 9-game win streak for BYU. Basketball timeout for some BYU football. And the Big 12 announcing yesterday that 14 players from BYU will participate in the annual Pro Days at the Star just outside of Dallas. On the offensive side, Caleb Etienne, Braden Keim, Connor Pay on the offensive line, quarterback Gary Bohannon, receiver Darius Lassiter, tight end Keanu Hill, and then Mason Fakahua and Ray Paulo, a couple of tight ends. On the defensive side, Tyler Batty, Isaiah Banya, John Nelson, Blake Mangelson, cornerback superstar Jacob Robinson, and his elite teammate in the defensive backfield, Mark Collins. Men's and women's track and field begin competing at the indoor NCAA Nationals today in Virginia Beach. Representing the second-ranked BYU women's team will be Lexi Halliday-Lowry in the 5,000 meters, Riley Chamberlain in the 3,000 meters. Carmen Alder will run the mile. Megan Hunter in the 800. Sammy Oblad takes to the track in the 400. Marin Garnett will compete in the pole vault, and the distance medley relay team will do their thing. On the men's side, Casey Klinger, Joey Noakes, and Creed Thompson all competing in the 5K. Ben Barton in the heptathlon, Danny Bryant in the shot put, and they, too, will have their distance medley relay team represented. Competition, of course, starts today, runs through tomorrow, no pun intended. BYU baseball dropped their Big 12 opener 9-8 to UCF yesterday at Miller Park. A lot of rain, but they figured out a way to get it in. BYU will look to bounce back in Game 2 of the series, 5 Eastern on ESPN+. Listen on BYU Radio. And a scheduling update: the Batcats home game against Utah Tech on Tuesday has been bumped up to Monday at 6 Eastern on ESPN+ and BYU Radio. Monday night baseball for the Batcats. 6th-ranked BYU men's volleyball will host Harvard Saturday night for the first of 2 matches. BYU working to snap a 2-match home losing streak. You can watch live on Big Ten Plus tomorrow at 9 Eastern, with the game on demand on the BYU TV app at midnight Eastern. Game 2 will happen on Monday night. And BYU gymnastics travels to Berkeley to face number 6 Cal, Washington, and conference foe Arizona State tonight in their final meet of the regular season, a quad meet spectacular. After the break, which 9-game win streak is best? The one that BYU men's basketball is currently on, or what football did back in the fall? Plus, what one national analyst has to say about BYU football's strength of schedule. He says it's easy. Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Provo, Utah, and in Kansas City. I'm Spencer Linton. Of course, Jerem Jordan still doing his thing and working hard in front of T-Mobile Center in KC, with a storm approaching, mind you. Jerem, everything okay with the wind and rain on the way?
Everything's great. BYU's in the semifinals, dude. A little rain ain't no thing.
Not going to slow anybody down today, that is for sure. Let's call a timeout on basketball for just a moment because there are some notable things that we need to discuss surrounding BYU football. In a way, for this first topic, the basketball is still involved, but we need to compare the two because our friend Ralph Sokolowski, who is a statistician superstar, asked the following question yesterday. BYU's nine-game basketball winning streak matches, of course, the nine-game football win streak. But which is best? Which streak is the best, Jerem?
There's no wrong answer here, but I am going to say football requires over 2 months of winning, 540 minutes of games, all unique opponents. Men's basketball, it's about a month, 360 minutes. That can be repeatable opponents. That's 66.6, repeating, of course. Shout out Leroy Jenkins. A couple of guys can influence basketball in a way that can't in football. Football, you need like 2 to 3 times the amount of dudes in football to win as a team in the same way. So both are tough. I do think a football nine-game win streak is better than a nine-game win streak for men's hoops. But again, these are both spectacular and amazing, and I love it.
Yeah, it's more common to hear about a nine-game win streak in basketball than it is in football. It just is. And maybe that's just pure math because there are way more basketball teams than football teams at the Division I level. But I feel like with how finicky football can be at times and the ball bounces a weird way and you just need some miraculous things to happen, I mean, good grief. What BYU had to pull off to win 9 games in a row on the football field was nothing short of miraculous in some ways, thinking back to the Oklahoma State game. And, of course, what happened against SMU early in the season, not allowing that team to score
Kansas
a touchdown.
Kansas in the loss.
Yes. Okay, and even in that loss, yeah. And Utah, you needed the defensive holding call, the manna from heaven, and that flag to float down from the sky to make that happen. So I'm going to lean towards BYU football, taking nothing away from the team that is competing behind you later today. All right, let's move along.
CBS Sports' Josh Pate had the following comment about BYU's strength of schedule, which was interesting.
We think Brigham Young has the easiest schedule in Power 4 this year. That's what we have right now. We can adjust this, but it's not going to adjust much. Brigham Young's got a great draw this year. They don't play a single Tier 1 opponent. They don't play a single Tier 2 opponent. They only play 2 Tier 3 opponents. There is no back-to-back road game on their schedule. Texas Tech's their toughest game, I think. And Texas Tech will be playing them as their 6th consecutive game. Brigham Young will be off a bye. So they got a +6-game rest advantage there. So it's great draw. Great draw for Brigham Young.
Is he trying to look like Mr. Clean? Because it's really going for him. What do you make of this?
I hope he's right, Jerem. Why would I not hope for that? You take any perceived break that you can get when it comes to trying to get into the college football playoff. If BYU does indeed have the easiest Power 4 schedule, or even one of the easiest Power 4 schedules, great! Although, looking at home to Utah, then at Iowa State, even though there's a bye between the Iowa State and Texas Tech games, having to go back to Lubbock after that, that 3-game stretch to me does not feel easy. But you and I both feel like there is a very, very clear path for BYU to win 9 games in the regular season and have a shot at 10 in a bowl game. So I hope that he is right.
Pull off in Indiana and blow out some fools, and even
yes,
if you play a weak schedule, get to the playoff. It's not about what you do in the playoff. It's about getting to the playoff. Get to the Big 12 title game. This would be great. I don't know what T1 and T2 opponents are under his criteria, but BYU plays 2 of the top other 3 teams in the league that finished for first, Colorado, Iowa State. I like the no Big 12 road game, the bye between back-to-back, the bye between Iowa State and Texas Tech. I like that a lot. He makes some good points, but the point is BYU didn't make the schedule. They do make what the results will be.
Yeah. All right, we got to put this show to bed like Elijah Crawford did in his celebration yesterday on the sideline. Today's Rise and Shout Out featuring an elite Kansas City resident. Stay with us on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day. What would a win over Houston mean for BYU seeding in the NCAA tournament? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated in from Isaac_bro_mur on Instagram, he says, it means BYU gets the highest seed they'll have since Jimmer Fredette. There's a lot of truth in that. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Andy Reid and Taysom Hill showing up at the game yesterday. I expect them to be there tonight.
It's always good to see Big Red wearing Big Blue, Jerem. Fantastic. Our thanks to today's guests, Richie Saunders, Trevin Nell, and Fran Fraschilla.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jerem Jordan in Kansas City, I am Spencer Linton in Provo. Shout out to Jordan Chapman. We'll see you back here in studio. Be on Monday. Go Cougs.